Turn over first to Romans chapter 1. Turn over first to Romans chapter 1. Now, this, at least part of the verse we're going to look at, I'm sure that many of you could quote. But we want to read this one and remember where Romans chapter 1 is, because we'll be coming back to it. In Romans chapter 1, look at verse 17. It says, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." Now, turn over to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3, and remember where Galatians chapter 3 is, because we'll be coming back here as well. Galatians chapter 3, and look in verse 11. It says, "But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith." Almost, you know, I mean, part of that verse is identical to what we saw over there in Romans. Now turn over to Hebrews chapter 10. And remember where Hebrews chapter 10 is, because we will come back to Hebrews chapter 10. And look in verse 38. "Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him." Now three times we have seen "the just shall live by faith." How many of you have heard these verses and these statements used in sermons when it comes to living by faith? Anybody besides me? Okay. So you've heard over and over again, and it's inevitable that if you listen, and if you go back and get tapes from where I've taught before, I'm sure I've used these, I have no doubt. But we talk about living by faith, the just shall live by faith, the just shall live by faith, and that's true. But what if I were to tell, okay, wait a minute, back up. And we've heard these verses applied when it comes to living by faith, such as live by faith when it comes to, you know, your money or things, your health, I mean, just anything, right? Just about anything you can think of, these verses have been applied to that. The just shall live by faith. So therefore, you know, faith your healing and faith your finances and faith your material things and faith this and faith that, and on it goes. What if I were to tell you that these three verses and those statements, in the most nitpicky sense, do not mean that at all? What if I were to tell you that? What if I were to tell you they mean something else? Now, I do understand the concept of living by faith, and that the just are to live by faith, so on and so forth, for everything that we need. But these verses in particular that we just read, and just go ahead and turn back over to Romans. Romans chapter 1. Now look at verse 17. You're going to see this very clearly once I point it out to you. In Romans chapter 1, verse 17, it says, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." The first word in verse 17 is "for." That is one of those connecting words, okay? Which means it builds a bridge from a previous thought to the upcoming thought. And then the next word after the word "for" is the word "therein." Okay, therein what? What is the "in" that I'm there? You see what I'm saying? So I've got to find out what the "in" is. What is that "in" that I'm in? The "therein." Is this making sense? Okay. So I need to back up, do I not? Okay, look in verse 16. "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." Can you see that the faith he's talking about is connected to the gospel of Jesus Christ? And he says in verse 16 that "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." Well, Paul, why should you be ashamed of the gospel of Christ? Well, very simply put, because the gospel of Christ teaches the Jew not to live by the law. Okay? So he says, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation." It. The gospel of Christ. Not the law. It. The gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation. So therefore, if you want to experience salvation in your life, it has to be based upon the gospel of Christ, not upon the works of the law. He says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Why the Jew first? Well, because to the Jew was given the law. So the gospel of Christ is given to the Jew first to help them understand it's not the law anymore, guys. The Gentiles never had the law, but the Jews did. And he says, I'm not ashamed of this gospel because it, not the law, it is the power of God unto salvation to everybody. Doesn't matter who you are. For therein, in the gospel of Christ, wherein is the power of salvation, is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. The righteousness of God is revealed to all mankind through the power of the gospel, or the gospel of Christ, which is the power unto salvation. He says, for therein, the gospel of Christ, which is the power of God unto salvation, this is where the righteousness of God is revealed. Not by the works of the law, but from faith to faith. What's he mean from faith to faith? What does he mean when he says, as it's written, the just shall live by faith? Another way to put this then would be to understand what he's talking about. The only way that you can be justified in the eyes of God is if you have used your faith and placed it in the gospel of Christ, which is the power of God unto salvation. That's the only way that you can be justified. Another way to say it would be this. Those who are justified in the eyes of God are those who have put their faith in the gospel of Christ because it alone is the power of God unto salvation, not the works of the law. Can you see what he's talking about here? He's not talking about using faith for finances. He's not talking about using faith for healing. Although ultimately, when you talk about the full scope of everything that's included in salvation, we are talking about using our faith, you know, for all of those things. But specifically what he's talking about here is what it's going to take to get you saved. What it's going to take to get you born again. What it's going to take for you to experience salvation. But now let's look at the other places. Over there in Galatians chapter 3. In Galatians chapter 3, this was extremely self-explanatory, but let's back up to verse 10. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. For the just shall live by faith. Can you see again that he's not talking about faith for your cars and your money? He is talking about faith in Christ versus the works of the law. Can everybody see that? How he's making that distinction here. Now, if we were to go through much more of Galatians, we could see more specifically these things, more details, I guess is a way to put it. But you see what he's getting at. Now let's look over here in Hebrews. Turn back over to Hebrews, only this time, instead of going to chapter 10, back up to chapter 7. Because Hebrews, quite frankly, is the expanded version of what we've just read in Romans and in Galatians. And we're only going to touch it, portions of it. We're not going to get into it in great detail. But almost the entire book of Hebrews is the expanded explanation of this. In Hebrews chapter 7, look at verse 19. For the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh unto God. Chapter 8, verse 7. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. Chapter 9, verse 15. And for this cause he, Jesus, is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the First Testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Chapter 10, verses 19. Verses 19 through 20. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us, through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. Verse 38, now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. So once again, I think I've given you just enough in this so you can recognize that when he makes that statement, the just shall live by faith, he's talking about a difference between living under the law and living according to the gospel of Jesus Christ, or receiving justification in the eyes of God through faith in Jesus Christ versus trying to earn it through the works of the law. So these three verses where it talks about the just shall live by faith, first and foremost, what these verses are talking about is the fact that we don't work the works of the law, we put faith in Christ. That's how we end up with salvation, and that's how we end up being justified in the eyes of God. However, this does not take away from the fact that we're to live by faith relative to everything that goes on in our lives. The problem is, most people really don't understand about living by faith. When we start living by anything other than faith, it's when we're living according to our own law, if you will. When we start living by the works of offerings to get blessings, then we have created our own law. And we've created, in fact, you know, you can go through so many different churches and so many different beliefs and so on that you'll hear so many different teachings. And a lot of these teachings are nothing more than a variation of the law. Well, you know, if a woman cuts her hair, she loses her salvation. You know, some of you have been exposed to that kind of teaching. Well, that's not what's in the Word of God. However, it becomes things like that and on and on. Those things become a law unto themselves. So no longer are we living in faith, a faith relationship with God through Jesus Christ, but now we're relying on things that we can do, works, in order to earn something from God. Now let me make a statement. We're talking about living by faith tonight and what it really means to live by faith. And this is going to come maybe... It might rattle some people's cage, I guess, as far as faith, living, and so on is concerned, but I'm going to make a statement, and I want you to listen closely to it, and then I'll complete the statement. And I've written it down so I don't goof up. Faith does not mean trusting God to meet all our needs. Now let that sink in. Faith does not mean trusting God to meet all our needs. Now, how many of you ever heard it said otherwise? Faith means trusting God to meet all of your needs. And I have said that, I'm sure. I'm somewhere on maybe several of the sermons and tapes and so forth. I've said that myself. But what we're going to do, remember I used that term nitpicky earlier? All right, we're going to get really nitpicky about that statement to clarify it. Because that statement alone has led a lot of people to make a big faith mistake in their lives. And when they make that faith mistake, they end up enduring a lot of hardship or a lot of problems, or you know, discomfort, whatever it would be, because they've misunderstood. So let me say this one more time. Faith does not mean trusting God to meet all our needs. It means trusting God to meet our needs according to what He has said in His Word. There is a huge difference in that. If you just believe that faith is trusting God to meet all your needs, but you don't take it beyond that, then you will end up, more than likely, creating your own rules relative to what it means to trust God. But faith means trusting God to meet our needs according to what He has said in His Word. And therein is the big, big difference. Turn over to Matthew chapter 4. I'll show this to you. Matthew chapter 4. See, most people leave that last part out. And again, I know we're getting, like I said, real nitpicky about this. Because we can make a general statement that faith is trusting God to meet all your needs. And that is not incorrect, but we have to understand that it includes according to what He said in His Word. In Matthew chapter 4, look what Jesus said in verse 4. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Man shall live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Now see, that's different than just hearing a blanket statement which says faith means trusting God to meet all your needs. Because you can live your entire life telling people that you're trusting God to meet all of your needs, but if you don't know what's come out of the mouth of God, you're not living by faith. Do you see what I'm saying? Can you see the difference in this? So here's what's happened. There have been so many really good faith sermons. And I'm not talking about the stuff that gets people doing goofy things. I'm talking about good sermons about faith. But a lot of people take these faith sermons and they run out and they say, just supposed to live by faith. Just shall live by faith. Just better live by faith. Well, I'm justified because I've accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. So therefore, I fit into that category of somebody who is just. And because of that, then, man, I better live by faith. Because if I don't, I'm not going to be pleasing God and I can't see my needs met. So therefore, I'm going to live by faith. Okay, well, praise God. That's what you're supposed to do. But how are you going to do it? How are you going to live by faith? Well, I'm just going to trust God. Okay, well, how are you going to do that? Well, I'm going to believe Him. Okay, you're going to believe Him. But how are you going to do that? Well, I'm just going to, I'm going to wait on Him. Okay, you're going to wait on Him. But how are you going to do that? Well, I'm just, why don't you get the preacher's tapes and then you'll understand. See, faith is trusting God to meet all your needs according to what He's already said in His Word. And if you don't know what He said in your Word, you're not living by faith. You're living by dumb. Because you will sit around and wait for God to do something, and you're going to have no clue how it's going to happen. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You see this? So therefore, if I'm going to live by faith, I can't just say I'm living by faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, and it means living by every word that's proceeded forth out of the mouth of God. That means if I'm going to trust God to meet all my needs, I better know what He said in His Word. And if I don't know what He said in His Word, I better find out. Because that's the only way I can live by faith. And this is the big mistake that so many people make. They don't know what God said. So what they do is say, well, I'm just trusting God. Well, that's wonderful. And at least that's a start. But what's the foundation for your trust? Well, I'm supposed to put my faith in Him that He'll come through. I understand that too. But what is the foundation for your faith? What is the foundation for your trust? Whatever it is you're believing God for, what's the foundation for it? Well, because, God's faithful and true. I know that. Well, because God can't lie. I know that. But do you know what He said so that you know He didn't lie? You say He didn't lie, but if you don't know what He said, then you don't know what isn't a lie. Does that make sense? I think so, Brother Martin. I'm not really sure. That's like, there's a traffic accident and the police show up and they're trying to find witnesses. And this one fellow stands up and he says, well, I'll fill out the witness form. That's no problem. Just tell me what you want me to write. What do you want on here? It's like, I'm trusting God. Well, trusting Him for what? To meet my need. Based on what? Well, because He said He'd meet my need. That's right. He did say He'd meet your need. According to His Word. Now listen, according to His Word, not your belief. Because if your belief isn't tied into His Word, guess what? Ain't happening. Therefore, your belief has to be tied into His Word. That's the only way that you can live by faith. Now, let me just give you a couple of examples here. Turn first to Proverbs chapter 15. Proverbs chapter 15, and look in verse 6. It says, in the house of the righteous is much treasure, but in the revenues of the wicked is trouble. Now what's verse 6 presenting the image of? Righteous and wicked having stuff, right? Both of them. Righteous and wicked having treasure, having things, money. Okay. But it says in the house of the righteous there is much treasure. In the house of the righteous is much treasure. Now don't respond by, you know, just kind of give me that poker face stare here. How many of you have much treasure in your house? Well, but Brother Martin, you know, we don't look for things. We look for the spiritual treasures of a full heart. Oh, ho, ho, ho. Yeah, that's not what this is talking about. And because the reason we know that is because of what he says next. But in the revenues of the wicked is trouble. They don't have a rich, full spirit, full heart. He's talking about moolah. He's talking about things. He says, in the house of the righteous is much treasure, but in the revenues of the wicked is trouble. Now let's look at another verse. Proverbs 21. Verse 20. There is treasure to be desired and oil in the dwelling of the wise, but a foolish man spendeth it up. And what's he talking about here? He's not talking about your heart, dear heart. He's talking about tangible, spendable stuff. Do you see this? And he says right here that, excuse me, there is treasure to be desired and oil in the dwelling of the wise, but a foolish man spendeth it up. What's this say? It says, well, if you're foolish, it's going to be in one pocket and out the other. It says, if you're wise, you're going to make provision so that you don't spend it all up. Can you see that in there? Now, look back in chapter 13. In chapter 13, look at verse 22. A good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children, and the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. A good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children. That's his grandchildren. Okay? How are you going to do that if you don't have anything? How can you leave anything for your grandchildren if you're barely making it? You see what I'm saying? Okay, now, what am I getting at here? What I'm getting at, and there are other places in the Bible we could turn to, we're just using these three verses right now. What I'm getting at is, there is wisdom, instruction from God concerning Christians and prosperity, our increase, our holdings, our investments, our savings, the money we have in the bank. Another way to put this would be, there is instruction from God in His Word that we are supposed to be wise stewards with our money so that we have something laid up. So that we have something in the bank. Now, He doesn't tell you how to do it, but it's going to be based upon the economy of the culture. Earlier, it talked about oil. Well, one of the things that you were considered to be wealthy if you had a good supply of oil. Because oil was used for everything. Well, not everything, but you know, they used oil for their lamps and so on and so forth. Remember the foolish virgins? The oil ran out. Now, we're not going to get over there and talk about that, but remember they were scrambling to try and... They were foolish. They were foolish. But the wise person's got the oil. You with me? In other words, the wise person has made provision for whatever may come. Okay, now what do we have in the body of Christ?
I'm trusting God to meet all my needs.
Okay, but are you saving anything for retirement?
Well, I'm trusting God.
I know that. But are you saving anything based upon what we're seeing in the Word? Remember, faith is not trusting God to meet your needs. It's trusting God to meet your needs according to what He said in His Word. So according to what He said in His Word, a wise person is supposed to be storing something up. So, do you have anything set back for retirement? Well, Brother Martin, I've just never felt that was important because I believe the Lord's going to come back. Yeah. He'll hold off just to show you. And what about insurance? Do you have any life insurance in case something happens? Why, Brother Martin, that's a negative confession. You tell that to all the Christians that have died before their time and left families with nothing. Man, I could stand up here and tell you stories of men, Christians, who died and left their families destitute because there was no life insurance.
Because we're trusting God. We're living by faith.
You're living by dumb. You, if nothing else, have life insurance for that children's children inheritance thing. Are you with me? But you've got a lot of... And health insurance, same kind of a thing. Now, I know all this stuff costs money. Don't misunderstand me. But I'm talking about people that don't do it because they just don't do it. You know, it's not terribly expensive to have just enough insurance at least to stick you in the ground. Or to burn you up and pour your ashes over, you know, whatever. But it doesn't take a whole lot of insurance to at least have final expenses covered. But you've got too many Christians out there that think living by faith means you don't have to get this stuff. How many Christians have died believing this? Can you see where the foolishness comes in? According to the Word of God, we have a responsibility to have something set back. If that means that we don't spend... Remember, talked about the foolish man spends it up? If we don't spend lavishly, if we have to cut back in order... Now listen to this. If we have to cut back in order to meet what God has said in His Word, then we have to cut back. We have to cut back our spending on this. Instead of shopping at the top-of-the-line stores, we shop at Meijer, at Walmart, at Kmart, or something like that. Do you see what I'm saying? Because if we're going to live by faith, it has to be according to what God has said in His Word. And this is the part that's lost on a lot of people. You don't have to turn to it, but over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8, and 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10, it talks about a person is supposed to work, that a person is supposed to provide for his family. And if a person doesn't work, he shouldn't eat. So what do you have? You have a lot of Christians out there that they believe they're supposed to, you know, live by faith. And so what happens is they don't follow the principles in God's Word and instead are expecting God to pull them out, to bail them out. Well, God told me to quit my job and to live by faith. Hallelujah. How are you going to do that? Well, I'm going to live by faith. Okay, you're going to live by faith, but how are you going to do that? Well, I'm going to trust Him to meet my needs. Okay, according to what? According to the fact that He told me to quit my job and to live by faith. All right, let me ask you something. When you were on the job, how many hours a day were you putting in? Well, I was working 8 hours a day. Okay? And God told you to quit, right? Yep. Now you're going to live by faith, aren't you? Yep. Well, what are you going to do in those 8 hours that you used to do when you were working there? You used to have those 8 hours filled up with your job. What are you going to do with those 8 hours now? Well, I don't know. Then you didn't hear from God. Because trust me, God's not going to tell you to quit your job 8 hours a day so that you can sit around for 8 hours a day and do nothing. What were His instructions for the 8 hours? What has He told you to do? Well, Brother Martin, I don't know. I have you quit your job already? Well, no, then don't. Because until you find out the other half of the instruction, you better not quit your job. He may have told you to quit, but you better find out what you're supposed to be doing with those 8 hours. Are you supposed to be spending those 8 hours in prayer? Are you supposed to spend those 8 hours in the Word? What are you supposed to do? Because until you find out, you've only got half the instruction. Here's the problem. There are a lot of people that either live on half the instruction or they're living on something they never heard in the first place.
I'm supposed to live by faith.
Based on what? God told me to live by faith. Hey, Living by faith doesn't mean you quit your job. Living by faith means that you live according to everything He said in His Word. What has He said? He said you're supposed to supply for your family. He said you're supposed to, you don't work, you don't eat. I mean, you're supposed to follow the principles in His Word. That's what living by faith is. Let me tell you what. If you don't live according to what He's established in His Word, I'm going to say it this way. It's kind of drastic. If you don't live according to what He said in His Word, He has no obligation to meet your need. Thing is, He loves you so much, He'll help you anyway. But living by faith is living according to what He has said in His Word. Okay, now, let me just give you another one. I'm just going to read these scriptures off. We won't take the time to go back over and read them because we've read them so many times in other messages in the past, but you can look them up later. Now remember, living by faith is living according to everything that God has already given us in His Word. It's living according to what He's already said. Now here's one that may throw people a little bit of a curve relative to what it means to live by faith. Because most of the time, we've heard living by faith means trusting God for your finances and trusting God for your cars and your houses and your healing and everything else. And I understand that principle. I understand those things. But let's consider for a moment understanding God's Word. Understanding God's Word. How many of you have ever wished that you had a greater understanding of God's Word? How many of you, over the years of being born again, have wished that you could know what God's talking about? I mean, in many places, it's very clear. But in other places, you know, it's like you look at this and you think, man, what is this? Years can go by. And you don't have a clue what a certain passage is talking about. Sounds very confusing to you. Okay, if you want to know what God's Word means, if you want to understand what He said in His Word, living by faith means you can understand what's in God's Word according to God's Word. Say, do what now? Living by faith, relative to, you know, understanding the Word of God, living by faith means you can understand God's Word according to God's Word. Say, okay, Brother Martin, help me out with this one. Okay, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, it talks about studying to show yourself approved unto God. Now, the only way that you can do that is if you take your preconceived notions about what God's all about, you put them on the shelf, and you let God reveal Himself to you through His Word. Study to show yourself approved unto God. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, it talks about that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And it's profitable for, you know, doctrine, correction, etc. and so forth, so that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Living by faith means you're accepting all Scripture. Now let this sink in. Living by faith when it comes to understanding God's Word means you're accepting all Scripture as coming from God, not just the parts somebody told you you need to accept. You accept it all. You say, well, doesn't everybody? By His stripes you were healed. Some people accept it, some people don't. Not accepting it is not living by faith. Does that make sense to anybody? I'll give you some more verses here. When it comes to understanding God's Word, living by faith means that you accept what Jesus said in John 14, 26, John 16, 13, relative to the Holy Spirit, and what Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 4, where he talks about when you're praying in tongues or speaking in tongues, you're edifying yourself. In other words, and there are other verses I could use, but those are just enough to illustrate. When it comes to understanding God's Word, living by faith means you not only accept what is in the Word, all of it, but you also understand you don't have a choice but to get the Holy Ghost involved. Because Jesus talked about Him being the teacher. Jesus talked about Him leading us, teaching us all things, and guiding us into all truth. Jesus talked about the role the Holy Spirit would play, helping us to understand the Word of God. Paul wrote about it in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Paul talks in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 about praying in tongues. In other words, living by faith means that if I want to understand God's Word, I not only have to get into the Word itself and all of it, but I also have to involve the Holy Spirit in my life so that I can receive that teaching from Him. Does this make sense? So if I'm going to live by faith to understand the Word of God, I have no choice but to pray in the Spirit. Now, what does this say about people who either refuse to pray in the Spirit or don't believe in it? It means when it comes to completely understanding God's Word, they have immediately eliminated themselves from that potential. Because if you're going to understand God's Word, it has to be according to His terms, not ours. So therefore, I get into the Word. I start praying in the Spirit. Now I'm living by faith that I'm going to come to the understanding of what He's put in His Word. Can you see this? And this is a part of living, this is one example of what living by faith includes that so many times we don't hear. Now let me show you something else. Turn over to Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55. And look at verse 11. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. This is a declaration by God. That means if we hope to receive from God whatever we believe He has promised us, it has to be according to His Word. What is going to cause His promise or His promises to manifest in our life? Your answer is right here in verse 11, His Word. He says, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. So therefore, if God has sent forth His word relative to a promise, His word is the key to getting that promise to manifest. That's the only way it's going to work. But if I think that I can get the promises to manifest by doing something other than the word, the promises aren't going to manifest. If I think that I can get God to move for me outside of what He has already said, it won't happen. Because He says, my word, that's the thing that's going to prosper. That's the thing that won't return void, and that's the thing that's going to accomplish what I want accomplished. My word. My word is the thing that works. Look over in Mark chapter 4. Well, look what Jesus said in verse 14. He said, the sower soweth the word. The sower soweth the word. Now, you know this parable and so forth, but let me just kind of use this parable to exemplify what I'm talking about. God said His word goes forth, won't return void, it prospers, accomplishes what He wants. Jesus said, the sower sows the word. Okay, now, using our understanding and knowledge of this parable, let's say that we want to get a harvest of healing in our life, okay? The sower sows the word. What word? The word that went forth from God's mouth. Why is that? Because it won't return void, but it will prosper in everything that He sent it to. It'll accomplish what He said. So therefore, I know that if I want to have His promise of healing, then I have to appropriate His word for the healing. Do you see this? Because His word won't return void. His word will accomplish in my life what it says. But it also deals with my unbelief, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. So the more that I'm sowing the Word relative to a particular need, the more faith is coming in me. Do you see this? I mean, it's really cool the way it works. I sow the Word relative to a particular need, and the whole time I'm doing this, faith comes by hearing. Faith comes by hearing. So I'm getting the benefit on both sides. I'm getting the benefit of His Word working on my behalf to accomplish what He said it would do, but I also get the benefit of faith coming because I'm hearing the Word. Look over in Mark 11. And in verse 23, for verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Verse 23 is not just saying something to be saying something. Verse 23 is based upon what he said back over there in Mark chapter 4, verse 14, the sower sows the word. And that's based upon Isaiah 55, 11, where God said, my word is going to accomplish what I said. So God has told me already that his word accomplishes. Jesus said the sower sows the word. Then Jesus turns around and he says, and listen here. Speak to it, believe it, and you can have it. But it's going to be based on God's word. That's what living by faith is all about. It's knowing what God has said. And if you don't know what God has said, you read the Bible. You find out what God has said. Well, Brother Martin, I don't know. I just don't know where to look. Well, you can read the Bible from kibber to kibber. Or you can get yourself a concordance and cheat, look up topics, and that's okay. But what I'm getting at is this. You can't just say, I'm living by faith, and sit around and wait for something good to happen. Because I am firmly convinced what I'm sharing with you tonight is the reason why a lot of people never see promises manifest. It's because they've heard somebody tell them that, well, God will do this and God will do that. So you're taking their word at it, but you're never taking God's word and applying it. You're never doing what God said. God said, my word goes forth, it prospers, it accomplishes, doesn't return void. So I have a guarantee his word will work. Jesus said, sower sows the word. So I take God's word and I begin to sow it. And Jesus said, and if you do this, and you don't doubt that it's going to happen, then guess what? You can have what you say. Well, what is it that I'll be saying? What God has already said. Now I'm living by faith. Now I'm trusting God to meet my needs. According to the foundation of his promises. According to the foundation of what he has established. And this is the thing right here that's going to change your life. Every one of us. My life, yours, every single one of us. I'm not talking about add water, stir, and instant blessing. I'm not talking about that. What I'm talking about is if we take this concept and instead of just saying, well, I'm living by faith, trusting God to meet my need, and not knowing for sure what we're trusting, not knowing for sure what we're believing. But then we get over here into the Word and we find out that, well, okay, but my God shall supply all my need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And I know the grace of my Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for my sake He became poor, that I through His poverty might be rich. And God is able to make all grace abound unto me, that I always have all sufficiency unto all things and abound unto every good. Okay. And you begin, you see what I'm saying? The other way to put this is your confessions. That's what this is all about. Confession. Because God said, now listen to this, the whole principle for the confessions, right? We just read it. Isaiah 55:11. What did God say? He said that His word that goes forth, where? From where? Out of His mouth. My word that goes forth from my mouth, it will prosper. It will accomplish whatever I send it to. It will not return void. Even God is telling us it has to go out of His mouth first. So if God Himself up in heaven says the only way I'm going to get what I want is if I speak it first, we're down here and we think it wouldn't work for us. We're down here and we think that all we have to do is say, I'm living by faith and I'm trusting God, that it's going to happen? No. We have to continue to speak the very thing that He has said in His Word because that won't return void. Okay, so what are you doing? I'm living by faith. For what? For my healing. Well, how are you doing that? Well, very simple. By Jesus' stripes, I was healed. Because God said, by His stripes, you were healed. And not only that, but God sent His word and healed them and delivered them from all their destructions. And not only that, but Jesus took my infirmities and bore my sicknesses. You see what I'm saying? Now what I'm doing, I'm living by faith because I am declaring the thing that won't return void relative to what I need. Likewise, for my finances. Or material things. The three verses I just talked about, from Philippians 4 and 2 Corinthians 8 and 2 Corinthians 9. Speaking those, you know, keep speaking those, because that's the thing that won't return void. If I just sit around and I just say, well, you know, I'm living my faith, bless God, He's going to meet my needs. Someday, the glory boat's going to come in. Hallelujah, Jesus, thank you. Man, I'll be waiting all the time. And this is exactly what's happening in the lives of a lot of Christians. They're trusting God to meet their needs, but they don't have any foundation. Just what somebody's told them. And, I mean, at least they've told them that they can trust God. You know, some folks, it's like they don't even believe that. But at least, you know, that's the start. But it has to go beyond that. And see, this is for me too. You think just because He called me to be a pastor, I'm void of having to activate this? No, I am no different than anybody else. If I do not activate the Word of God, I am not living by faith. And I cannot sit around and expect what He promised to manifest in my life. I have to take His word and put it to work. And I know that, you know, we're not talking about, you know, all day long, you're speaking the word of God, speaking the word of God. I mean, that'll get you fired. You know, people are weird like that. Some people get weird about these kind of things. I'm talking about, when you go to God and you're praying about these things, God, I thank You that by Jesus' stripes I was healed. God, I thank You that Jesus is the name above all names and that my body must submit itself. Bow its knee, Father, as it were, to the name of Jesus. And therefore I know that I can speak to my body and say, body, You come under subjection to the name of Jesus, because God sent His word and healed you and delivered you from all your destruction. This is what living by faith is all about. Doesn't mean you never go to the doctor. Doesn't mean that you don't do this or don't do that. What it means is you're living according to what God's Word has said. You don't get goofy. You follow His principles. You want to have something for the future? Follow His principles in the Word. He has said in His Word, you're supposed to lay up. So according to His Word, lay up. You have investments now? Speak the Word over them. Why should your investments go belly up? These are things people don't hear sometimes. What we hear so many times is just trust God, hallelujah, just trust God to meet all your needs, just trust God. Based on what? Then all these Christians go out there and make the big faith mistake. They don't release God's word to bring about the manifestation of the promises. Because His promises are guaranteed by His word, not by what you believe. But if what you believe is according to His word, you know what you're going to do? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The sower sows the word. You want a harvest of promises? You've got to sow the word. Because those promises are based on the word. And this is really not a difficult thing. What do you need in your life? What do you want to see changed? Then sow whatever word applies to it. Just keep sowing 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 it. Keep sowing it. You're not going to change another will, the will of another human being, but what you are going to do is impact the circumstances. Things can change. Things absolutely can change. So I'm going to leave you with this. Keep in mind that living by faith it's not trusting God to meet all your needs. It's trusting God to meet your needs according to what He has said in His Word. That's living by faith, and you will get results on that one.